Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening to what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, enjoy.
Good morning and welcome. I'm Jen.
I'm Stu.
And you're very welcome to, if you're joining us live, like now, this instant, or watch us on demand later. If you are joining us live, you can interact with the chat in the comments, so that's great. And if you're not, then do enjoy this morning. We've got quite a packed morning, I think, coming this morning, so we'll try and fit everything in and try and be on time for everything, so bear with us. We've got our second part of our current series, which is Down to Earth. There is a I don't know if everybody's got the Bible app. If you haven't, you can easily download that on any given provider phone, whatever.
Yep.
And there's a plan, a reading plan, and it just has a little daily devotional and some reflections there. And so you can do that through our Advent times. Advent is the time leading up till Christmas. And today's is about the unexpected rescue. At some point, we've all needed a rescue, even if we've known it or not. I think we've all needed some sort of rescue.
Yeah.
My daughter would probably say, please rescue me right now from eating anything with onions in it. That is her rescue.
Fair enough.
Happens on a daily basis because my husband always comes with onions. So, because it's kind of the flavour.
Yeah, it's an important part of the recipe, sure.
But there are times when we feel that we do need to be rescued. And there are times when we don't need to be rescued, don't feel we need to be rescued, but we clearly do.
Yeah.
And sometimes we don't always see the signs of rescue. So we don't reach out for those lifelines that people are throwing us the situation is throwing us. So let's have a little look further about what this is all about this morning.
Join us this Christmas as we reflect on our down-to-earth Saviour, the Jesus who stepped into the mess and detail of life on earth and calls us to do the same.
Here in the grounds of Salisbury Cathedral, there are some important pieces of artwork just temporarily here, looking at different environmental issues, including this piece here, looking at coastal erosion. Now, I want to use this scene, picture the coastal scene here, and convey another real story of danger that happened on the coastline. I was on holiday and I found myself watching what turned out to be a really dramatic scene. There were some people co-steering along the coastal rocks. Do you know what co-steering is? You make your way across the rocks, but sometimes you have to swim, and mostly you have to climb, traversing along the rocks by the coastline. But there were four or five people who found themselves seriously stuck on the rocks. The sea was getting too rough for them to navigate, and the waves were crashing straight into the rocks that they found themselves on. And the tide was coming higher and higher. And they were in a cove, which meant that hundreds of us could see them, but we couldn't get to them. And they were in serious trouble. And of course, this is a holiday destination. So among the hundreds of people who were watching this, someone had obviously called for the rescue boat. And sure enough, the RNLI boat came in among the waves. But what happened next was not what we were expecting. We were expecting the boat to come to them and it would be easy. They would jump into the boat, job done. But the main rescue boat could only get to a certain level of closeness to them, but it couldn't actually get to them. So as we're watching, we're wondering what would happen. And then from there, from that main rescue boat, a smaller boat, a dinghy which had been on board, left that and got a bit closer to them with two people on it. But still, that dinghy couldn't get close enough to rescue them. It couldn't quite get close enough to get the job done. And then from that little dinghy, one person with a rope tied to himself jumped into the water and got right up to them. And we could hear him shouting, "I'm here, jump to me, jump to me." And one by one, they jumped into the water. and they were safely grabbed by him, and he took them to the dinghy, and from the dinghy to the rescue boat, and one by one, they were all rescued. Our message at Christmas is that our rescuer comes to us. He comes down to earth to us, actually. He has made the move that we couldn't make. But actually now it's for each of us to make our move, to accept the rescuer and the rescue, to jump in.
Okay, we're talking about rescue. And this morning I want to focus on one question, and that is why? Why do you need rescuing in the first place? Why would he come and need to rescue each of us? Have you ever realized? Oh, hello again, Ken. Ken's back. That's all right. There you go. You got it. So we're talking about rescue and why Jesus had to come and rescue us. Ever realized that the very thing that makes Christmas so great for kids is the same thing that slightly ruins it for us adults, and it causes us a bit of stress? The thing that makes it great for kids is the expectation, isn't it? Just the sheer expectation. You go to bed at night and you can't go to sleep because you're dreaming of whatever it is you have asked Santa for. And it always worked out because all you had to do really was circle what you wanted in the Argos laminated book of dreams. And because Mum is Santa's secretary, as you know, you came down on Christmas morning and there it was under the tree. Fantastic. Job done. It was a Merry Christmas. You anticipated it. You expected it. And there it was. Job done. Now, when you become an adult, you wish for slightly different things, don't you, at Christmas time, especially on Christmas Day, like things like, I wish everybody would just get along this year, don't you? I wish that he wouldn't come this year because he took over last year and he became the center of attention. It was a real pain in the neck. Or I wish that she would come, but that she wouldn't bring him. I wish he would come, but he wouldn't bring her. I just wish they wouldn't stay quite so long. It's like all this craziness that is human beings comes out and gets magnified at Christmas time, doesn't it? In a way that it doesn't the rest of the year. We all have different mechanisms for surviving some of this craziness. Some people just pretend that it's really not happening and they put on a happy face, don't they? They say, I don't care what happens. I don't care who turns up. We're gonna be happy. You know, that sort of response. And you've got this this false smile plastered to your face all through Christmas. Or maybe you treat Christmas like a wall of fire. Do you ever create Christmas like that? You just think, I'm just going to run at it and get through it as fast as I can. And hopefully I won't get too singed as I go through it this year. Or maybe you're a bit of a controller. Some people try and control all this craziness, don't they? You psych yourself up. You've decided that you are going to manage people through Christmas. And if you've ever tried to manage people, forget it. It never works. But it's worth a try. So you've bought a present for him to give to her so that there's no embarrassment this year. And you've timed it so she arrives just after he leaves so that there's no awkwardness this year. So you try and manage everybody through Christmas. Part of the problem is that we have this picture in our minds of how Christmas is supposed to be, don't we? We have the sort of Walton's version of the Christmas or the Little House on the Prairie version of Christmas in our heads. And the picture you have is of this perfect Christmas, of how it could be, of how it ought to be, of how it should be, but often isn't. And the perfect picture of Christmas often comes from your childhood, because Christmas was perfect when you were growing up, and that's because you were 7 years old, and you had no idea of all the stuff going on in the background and all the dysfunctional relationships and all the awkwardness. You had no idea whatsoever. You didn't know what the issue was between your aunts and your uncles and all this. And it wasn't until later that you discovered that he wasn't even your uncle in the first place when you grew up. So there you go. But now you are an adult and you want Christmas to look and to feel like it did when you were growing up. But as hard as you try, people don't cooperate. And you just can't seem to create that perfect picture. So here's the question. Can you have a Merry Christmas with all of that going on? Can you have a Merry Christmas? And I think the answer is yes. I think the answer is yes if Christ, Jesus, is the lens through which you view all that is going on in and around your families. And then I think you can have a Merry Christmas. Let me explain. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. And we're going to look through this first story of Christmas written by Matthew. Here's what we read. It says this. This is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. Now, in those days, fathers and mothers pledged their children to be married to other parents' kids. And speaking as a father, that's starting to appeal to me more than ever, quite frankly. I think we should bring this one back. It saved me a lot of stress. But back then, parents arranged for their children to be married and to who? And they were engaged for their whole childhood, literally their whole infant, from infancy. Here's what happens, verse 18. But before they came together, so they've been engaged for a long time, before they came together, before this marriage arrangement had ended in an actual marriage, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Now, let's be honest. We've romanticized this story, haven't we? We've romanticized the heck out of this story so much that we need to be a bit more realistic about what's going on here. Somebody comes to Joseph and says, hey, did you hear Mary's pregnant? Now, if you're a bloke, what is the first question you are going to ask? What do you want to know? Guys, what do you want to know? Bang on. That's what I'd be thinking. Who is he? Who is he? That's what I want to know. And we know from the text that the answer was, well, Mary reckons it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, really? Really? It's not a good answer, Mary. And surprise, surprise, Joseph doesn't buy it. So Joseph now has a situation on his hands. He has two options. Number one, he can go public because everybody's pointing at him. He's suspect number one. So he can clear his name and look after number one. Or he can privately get a written certificate of divorce because a marriage pledge in those days was as binding as a marriage. He had to literally get from the priest a certificate of divorce in order to end this relationship. But it would save Mary some shame because he planned to do it privately and quietly. And the text tells us which option he went for. Here's what he did. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. He was a good guy. He was a good guy. And then this happens. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. And he's thinking, I'm not son of what? No, my dad is called. But actually, he was a son of David because his great, 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 great granddad was David. King David, that's really important to know. Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her really is, believe it or not, Joseph, from the Holy Spirit. And Joseph believes this explanation. Let me tell you, the only way a guy is going to believe that explanation is if an angel turns up in his office and tells him face to face. It is the only way they're going to believe it. And this, verse 21, this is the part that brings all of this junk and dysfunction that you and I have at Christmas into perspective. Here's the lens through which you can view Christmas and still have a Merry Christmas despite all of this stuff going on. Listen to this. So you'll give birth to a son and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save, rescue his people from their sins. God says, the reason I'm sending this baby into the world is because I want to rescue people from their sins. Why is there a rescue that Ken was talking about? Why do we even need it? You see, if it weren't for sin, says God, I would not have sent him. If it weren't for sin, there would be no Christmas. If it weren't for all this dysfunction that you experience at Christmas, Christmas wouldn't exist. And that rescue will appear in the form of a baby who will one day achieve the only thing that will ever rescue any of us. And that is our forgiveness. He will achieve that for all of us. That's what the rescue looks like, God's forgiveness. And as we look back from our perspective, if it weren't for sin and sinners, which means the people that show up at your door at Christmas, some of whom you're glad to see, some of whom you're not quite so glad to see, the people who don't act properly, the people who say they're coming but don't, the people who leave early, the people who have their own agenda, the people that ruin it for you. If it weren't for those people, there is no Christmas because there wouldn't be no need to be rescued in the first place. Again, if it was possible to have a perfect one, there wouldn't even be one. That's why we need rescuing. Someone else that talks about this in the Bible, his name is John, and he doesn't take the angel's view or the manger's view. He doesn't take a close-up view. He takes a sort of 30,000-foot view down onto Christmas and takes it all in. And his name is John, and this is what he says. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. He's saying God took a look at the world and the world was really dark. It was very dark. It was full of all this dysfunction that you and I experience all the time. And from God's perspective, no one had any reason to forgive anybody because nobody had really experienced unconditional forgiveness. No one had any reason to patch up their relationships, all these dysfunctional relationships, because they didn't know what it was to have a patched up relationship with God, with their Heavenly Father. And God decided to send light. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. He sent light into the world. He basically came to enlighten us on what all of that looked like. Forgiveness and repaired relationship. And he sent Jesus to show us, enlighten us, what that would look like. And the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness hasn't understood it. In other words, the darkness hasn't got it. We haven't got it. Here's the experience that he paints for us. It's that experience that you and I are all familiar with. It's the experience that you're living your life and you realize it's not working. You're trying to manage it. You're trying to organize it. You're trying to do the best you can, but it's not working. And you realize you can't be the person you want to be. You can't be the husband you want to be. You can't be the wife you want to be, the father, the mother, the friend, the colleague at work. And you look in the mirror and on the outside things look okay. But on the inside, let's be honest, for all of us, things are a lot messier than that, aren't they? For you and for me. You realize at some point that there is darkness and that there's a lack of light. There's a lack of life. And we can't find the ability in ourselves to fix it, try as we might. over many years. It was that darkness that God saw when he looked into this world, and his response was to send light and life in the form of Jesus. And the reason there's a Christmas is because there is sin. The reason there's a rescue is because of that darkness. And the reason there is Christmas is because there are sinners who need rescuing from it. And I thought, you know what, wouldn't it be great if we could have a reminder of that? Because 2.5 weeks from now, all this Christmas dysfunction is going to be rocking up at your doorstep, and you're going to be dealing with it as usual. And we need reminding of this one, because if you see it through that lens, it really helps. And you've all seen car stickers, haven't you, with Jesus is the reason for the season. You even seen that one? They're really good. Wouldn't it be great if we could have car stickers and on it was written, I'm the reason for the season. Because if it wasn't for sinners, there would be no Christmas. You are literally the reason for the season. So I thought we'd have a little reminder. If you're on that row, far seat on each row, underneath you, you'll find a little cup. And you can save this for Christmas Day, just to remind you if you want. Or you can stick it on yourself. Or better still, you can stick it on the person next to you. Because they're the reason for the season as well, aren't they? Let's be honest. You know them better than I do. Obviously, only do that if you know them really well. Otherwise, we could have all sorts of pastoral work for Martin to do later on this week. But there you go. Take one of those, pass them along right down to the end of the thing and take a little sticker. I am the reason for the season. Because if it wasn't for me, Jesus wouldn't have come. That's the truth. He wouldn't have had to come. So the next time you cut people up on the road or lose it and say something unfiltered, all you have to do this Christmas is say, hey, I'm really sorry, but I'm the reason you get Christmas. Happy Christmas. You can do that with them. In fact, how about a variation on the theme? Isn't it right that if it weren't for other people, there'd be no Christmas too? How about my neighbour is the reason for the season? Or my boss is the reason for the season? Or my mother-in-law, who is turning up, is the reason for the season? And they are, aren't they? You and I are the reason for the season. But it's true, isn't it? If what Joseph was told was true, if God's response to sinners was to send his son, without us, there would be no rescue, there wouldn't be no Christmas. And maybe that can help us. Maybe that can help you and me when all this dysfunction hits at Christmas time. And I'm tempted to let a little bit of darkness out because I get so frustrated. Maybe that can remind me that my typical response to sin, listen, my typical response to sin is the exact opposite of what God did. It really is. My typical response to sin is to lean away. Isn't that what we do? We find someone who really is the reason for the season. We lean away. When God saw the darkness and the lack of life in each of us, what did he do? He didn't do that. He leaned in. He leaned in. He didn't pretend like we're tempted to. He didn't run through it like it was a wall of fire. Let's get through this as quick as we can. He didn't try to manage people and arrange it so that they avoid each other and they never deal with the real stuff that's going on in their lives. He didn't manage it or pretend or run at it. He didn't do all the things we do. He leaned in and he gave his son. It's an amazing thing. And listen, for the first 30 years of Jesus' life, he didn't say a word that we know of about your sin and my sin. He didn't say a word. He lived with us. He leaned in and he lived among us. And he put up with it all. And then he opened his mouth and he said, I want you to know what my father is like. I want you to know how he feels about you. I want you to know how he is committed to restoring your relationship with him. And he sent me not just to live among you as a model of how you can forgive and how you can patch up relationships, but to die on a cross so that the one thing you need for your rescue is available, and that is forgiveness. And I'm going to do that for you. Merry Christmas. So when I look in the mirror this season, and I find myself going down those familiar paths of avoiding, or getting a little bit moody with somebody, or a bit of resentment, or a bit of condemnation, I'm reminded this isn't the reason, the season for condemnation. This isn't the season to try and fix people, and this isn't the season to try and manage them. This is the season when God leaned heavily into our darkness and our sin. And as his follower, how can I do any less? Because if it wasn't for my sin, he wouldn't have come at all. Sin and dysfunction. Sin and dysfunction is not an interruption to your Christmas. Sin and dysfunction is the reason for your Christmas. And that's something we can all celebrate authentically, without pretending, without managing, that we, you and me, corporately and individually, really are the reason for this season. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, it's a lot for us to take in, and it's harder to do than just to talk about. Make this truth so central that when I see the reason you came, when I see the darkness and the sin, that I would do what you did. That I would lean in towards those I would ordinarily avoid. Because this is the season that you intentionally leaned in towards me, despite all my darkness. Give everybody in this room the grace to be grace givers this year. The grace to find common ground with every other sinner around the Christmas table. To look around that room on Christmas Day and Boxing Day and say, wow, you leaned in when you didn't have to. We're all the reason you came. And we all share that in common. We ask you help us with that, Father. May Christ be the lens through which we see this Christmas. Amen. Here's some questions to think through. Here are some questions. Does the idea that you need rescuing make you feel relieved, or annoyed, or threatened? Why is that? How does knowing I'm the reason for Christmas change how you view those difficult people? And when God saw our darkness, he leaned in. How can you love people like God does?
Some really good lots of stuff in that from Phil. So thank you, Phil. Just thinking some of that sort of leaning in. And then the video right at the beginning from ICC about sort of that example of the person jumping out the small dinghy to get so close, and that actually Jesus and God have done that by coming to earth and down to earth, and just whether we are. But I liked the spin that, as I sat wrong, but how Phil sort of turned the, we all think that the reason for the season is Jesus, right? We do that. There's the, you know, like you said, the car stickers and stuff. But actually, if we didn't need saving, we didn't need rescuing, there would be no need for that to happen. Exactly. So, I liked that sort of different viewpoint on what Christmas is for and why we have Christmas.
Yeah.
How about you?
No, absolutely. Absolutely. No, I completely agree with it. Yeah, it's quite poignant just to think about that kind of like, you know, because we are the reason that Jesus had to come in the first place. It's a painful truth, but we need to have that awareness.
So we thought we'd continue on in that sort of reflecting time, looking at question two in particular, which is how does knowing I'm the reason for Christmas change how you view those, I will do it, difficult people?
Nicely done.
that's probably going to be a journey, isn't it?
It is. But also having that awareness that for some people, I might be the difficult person. You might be the difficult person. Obviously. Who knows? But it's having that awareness that perhaps, just perhaps.
And people find... So they might be difficult at this time because they find Christmas difficult. Mm. But for some people, we know that Christmas can bring, because it's such a landmark in the calendar, even if you believe in God or not, Christmas is everywhere, isn't it? It hits the shops now before Halloween's finished. Like in there since August. And so if something quite significant has happened that's not the better memory of Christmas can hold difficulties, painful memories, and that can cause people to be difficult. And we may not know that about people. Yeah. So, but actually, when you think about, like you're saying, that we're the reason, I'm the reason, you're the reason, that actually God thought everybody was enough to come down to earth for and make Christmas happen, if you like, then actually we do need to readdress how we address the slightly more difficult situations as well as people.
I think it's really just important that we kind of, you know, we just pray for that grace and that patience and, you know, kind of all those things that are gonna, you know, help you if you need to deal with difficult people, different difficult circumstances and situations and stuff. Then I think that's really what you need to kind of
I agree totally. And I think that also speaks into the sort of third question, which is when God saw our darkness, which is why we're the reason for the season, he leaned in, he didn't shy away, he didn't you know, when you get a difficult person, often you can react or you can just distance yourself from them and think, I can't bother with that. How can we love people like God did and does? So, you know, how do we bring the Christmas message, the need for Christmas to other people's lives, the good news of Christmas to other people's lives, and demonstrate that and that, act that out? And I think that's, you know, when you're going through maybe through your own stuff, that's actually quite difficult. And absolutely, God has leaned in and he's leaning in. Like he's leaning in if you're finding that person particularly difficult. He's leaning in if you're finding Christmas particularly difficult. He's leaning in all the time and just saying, you know, just jump, come and lean back, lean into me, accept my light in your darkness, accept my light to help you work out how to deal with that darkness or this darkness or their darkness. I think that's quite key because a lot of the time in those situations, we can't do it on our own because we're only human and human nature is naturally to self-preserve.
Yeah,
care for other people as well, but I think when things get a bit difficult, we tend to sort of that fight and flight, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and it can be very difficult, you know, in these different circumstances. Yeah, we just need to have that awareness that, like, you know, just we're going to get it wrong probably. So we need to lean not on our own strength and just reach out, lean back.
Indeed. So if you've enjoyed this particular talk or this series or just any of our stuff that's happening in Hawley Baptist Church, I mean, hopefully you're subscribed to the channel, but I encourage you to do so. but also share it with friends as well. If it's, and you can email in, oh, look at Christo's all on it, join.in@hawleybaptist.org.uk. If you've got any, you know, you need to know more about what we are about, what we're doing, and anything else that's going on. Equally, we've got questions email. Have we still got that? Yes, we have. Got questions@hawleybaptist.org.uk, which again is something that you can send in questions. If this like provokes some questions in you and you're thinking, yeah, I like what Phil said, I'm not sure about that though, and he didn't really cover that, just send in the question. Somebody will answer it. I don't know who, but somebody will, hopefully. But there's that email as well. And do share this with people if you think that they would find it useful. The other thing that I can't recommend highly enough is Alpha. So again, you can email us. Oh, my hair's sticking to the sticker now. You can email us at join.in@hawleybaptist.org.uk if you want to know more about Alpha. Alpha is generally led by churches all over the country. So even if you're not based in Hawley and can't join in for hours when we run them, you can probably find one near you. And it's just a really nice, gentle, exploratory way to learn more about Christianity, the faith, what's going on, what does it all mean? And it doesn't necessarily give you all the answers, but it does help you with the community of people just like openly talk about how you're finding it and what it's in. So I can't recommend Alpha strongly enough. But so Alpha, emailing us, and do share this link to this talk if you think somebody else might find it useful.
That was today's episode of the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We hope this prompted you to want to follow Jesus even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We would love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder that you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can access that and our YouTube channel by heading to hawleybaptist.org.uk/media. Thank you again for listening to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we will see you next time.